There's new insight into the way Soviet leaders conducted their 10-year war in Afghanistan. It's based on recently declassified documents and newly translated memoirs of senior military leaders. The new evidence makes it even clearer now that the Soviets had limited information about what they were up against and overestimated the power of military technology. NPR's David Malpas reports.
6 years into the Soviet war with Afghanistan, former President Mikhail Gorbachev admitted in an internal memorandum that, quote, "We haven't learned how to fight there. If we go on in the same way, we'll have to fight for another 20 to 30 years. Another Kremlin official bitterly complains 8 years into the war, in a confidential letter, about the lack of understanding of the geography of what he called this hard-to-enter country. Additionally, the letter concludes that modern technology is of little use against small, highly mobile units scattered along mountain passes. The new records come from George Washington University's National Security Archive. John Prados, a senior analyst there, says they confirm Soviet blind spots about military might, blind spots that Prados says the U.S. also can fall victim to.
The notion that military force is infinitely fungible, that it's got total flexibility, that it's capable of achieving any kinds of aims that you set for it.
The Soviets, Prados says, were particularly overconfident about the abilities of their special forces and their air power, as the U.S. may be today. These are much more brittle instruments of war than you think, Prados says, especially in a land as remote and rigorous as Afghanistan. Russian expert Andrew Cutchins of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington says the frustrations of the Soviet military gradually led them towards more and more brutal tactics.
The Soviets resorted to massive air attacks, massive strikes with heavy conventional artillery, which was hardly pinpoint munitions, and this resulted in the massive civilian deaths.
The State Department estimates that a staggering 1.2 million Afghans died in the Soviet conflict, the vast majority of them civilians. The U.S. is clearly trying to avoid repeating that mistake by using precision weapons and avoiding most targets with high risks to civilians. But the U.S. is not prosecuting the war at this stage at anything like the Soviet level. Some in Congress are beginning to criticize this apparent restraint, almost as if there were no lessons to be learned from the Russian experience. Arizona Senator John McCain, speaking on CBS TV earlier this week, said the U.S. has to stop fighting the war with half measures, unleash the B-52 bombers on frontline troops, he said, and more.
We're going to have to put troops on the ground. We're going to have to put them in force. And although they will not be permanent, they're going to have to be very, very significant.
The temptation to achieve speedier results with a more aggressive strategy may become stronger if there are no clearer signs soon of progress against the Taliban and the terrorists. But some outside analysts say a better solution would be to focus less on the Taliban and more on the actual terrorists. David Isby, who's written 3 books on Afghanistan, says the U.S. probably won't repeat Soviet mistakes, but he's not guessing at all on what does come next.
Even if we try to avoid the Soviet mistakes of a maximalist, massive use of firepower, a huge unthinking military machine trying to stomp out the Afghans, even if we don't do that, we can make whole new other mistakes.
John Prados of the National Security Archive says he's concerned about all the talk of U.S. forces setting up a base inside Afghanistan. That, he says, would look a lot like the start of what the Soviets did, not the original hit-and-run strategy of special ops.
In the kind of terrain that is Afghanistan, and with the very limited supply abilities that we have in this landlocked country, with shaky allies on our side, we may end up in a situation where we have forces that are stuck out on a limb somewhere, surrounded by the enemy.
Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld has repeatedly steered expectations away from any large-scale U.S. ground assault. But he's also said the war won't be won by air power alone. This week, he admitted for the first time publicly that U.S. forces, in some numbers, are on the ground and operating regularly with opposition elements in Afghanistan. When asked about the future size of that ground force, defense officials remain deliberately murky. David Malpas, NPR News, Washington.